Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and you are tuned in for another edition of The Road Report, where I, your host, Eric Anthony, attempt to make my way to work, driving on the mean streets of Toronto highways in the greater Toronto area, while simultaneously podcasting with you, the people, discussing stream of consciousness stuff, stuff that's near and dear to me, things that I've read, things that I've watched, giving you a little opinion piece, as it were. So while I do this and I'm driving, just keep in mind that, as I say with every Road Report episode, I cannot fact check myself. I cannot make any research references to make sure that I'm getting names, dates, and places right. So I'm going to do my best off of the top of my head to talk to you guys as though you're sitting with me here in the car. So with that in mind, I want to talk about something that's near and dear to me. I've talked about it before on the show. I've had some guests related to the subject matter at hand, but I haven't done it in a while, and I think that with certain movies that are coming out in the next couple of months, I thought it would be a good time to revisit the subject. So in 2016, it was summertime 2016, it was my first time. My wife had gifted me a four-day pass to go to Fan Expo Canada, our big Comic-Con or fandom show that takes place here in the summer. I talk about it every year. I put up a couple of interviews and sometimes panels that I've sat in on while I'm there. So you guys know what I'm referring to if you've listened to this show before. So it's 2016. I usually go to these shows every year I go to them. But in the before 2016, I would do maybe one or two days, if I could, of the con. This was my first time doing an entire weekend. And you know, after a while, if you haven't done it before, it can be very overwhelming throughout the day because there's sensory overload, right? You've got artists and celebrities and semi-celebrities that you can meet. You've got a lot of shopping that you can do. And then, of course, there are the panels that I always say are the best part of these shows, because that's when you can get live and direct with some of your favorite creators, people talking about the arts, whether you are an aspiring writer or artist. They have sketch battles, all these different things. And then they also have panels that are more focused driven on specific subject matters. And sometimes that could be, you know, an entire panel of DC Comics or Marvel Comics, where they're talking to you about an event of the past or events of the future. So I was looking at all of the panels for that weekend in 2016 to keep myself entertained, because I was doing the con pretty much all alone. So one of the panels that I had decided to attend was Valiant Comics, an entry into Valiant Comics. And they had two panels that weekend. One was diving into Valiant Comics. I don't think that was the title, because I probably wouldn't have wanted to go to a panel that was titled that, but they had one that was doing an overview of the history and the current publishing of the group, and then there was things that they were focusing on for what was coming next that was going to be on the Sunday of the show. Anyhow, that first panel that gave you an overview and history of the publishing company that was Valiant Comics really, really sold me hook, line, and sinker, because the panel host, who his name is Andy Ligel, he no longer works at Valiant Comics, but the way that he presented the books and the universe that was Valiant Comics. So I should preface this all by saying what Valiant Comics is the third major publishing company that has a universe that connects all of its characters together, a la DC Comics or Marvel Comics. The other publishing groups, such as Dynamite, Dark Horse, Image, those are more creator-owned. They might have some sense of continuity within a few books, but for the most part, they don't connect at all. But Valiant Comics directly connects all of their characters together, living in the same world, which makes it only the third comic book company that does that, and does it very well. So when I enter this panel, Andy Ligel, who was the panel host and director of sales for Valiant at the time, was really doing his job well and making us all believe and feel that this was a comic book publishing company that, like, if you didn't know, now you know. There was something great that was happening, and now you're in on the secret. And he were, as he was doing the panel, he was asking questions to the audience, and if you were paying attention and listening, he would throw out gift bags and all these special prizes, and they weren't just like kitschy sort of tchotchkes that they were giving to you. They were full-on hardcover $50 books that they were just giving out to the audience. Special edition variant covers that were very rare. These really cool sets of gifts. And the generosity, the sale that they had going on that day sold me hook, line, and sinker into this company. They had a sale that day, and I think they still do whenever they come to Fan Expo in the summertime. You buy five books, five entry-level books into the line for $30, yeah, which is a really good deal. We all know how expensive buying brand new graphic novels could be, so as an entryway into the line, I was sold. It was just more an overwhelming thing because there were so many things that seemed were right up my alley to read. But a little history, back history on Valiant Comics, I think is important. In 1989, the former editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, Jim Shooter, was attempting with some other investor to purchase Marvel Comics. He had been the longest standing editor of the comic book group that was Marvel, that is Marvel, but at the time was Marvel Comics. Other than Stan Lee, Jim Shooter was most synonymous as being known for the editor-in-chief. There had been other ones before him, but it was very interim-based. They didn't last very long in that seat, but Jim Shooter really was known for kind of running the company with an iron fist, but at the same time, represented a very successful and memorable, critically acclaimed era of Marvel, where you had things like the Chris Claremont X-Men, which I've talked about at length on this show. You had Frank Miller, Daredevil, Walt Simonson, Thor, John Byrne, Fantastic Four. The list goes on and on of the creators and the creative teams and the books that were coming out at that time that really laid tracks for some of the best stories that you would get out of Marvel Comics. Even to this day, they're still very celebrated. And Jim Shooter was the editor-in-chief at that time. And I'm not sure when he had left that post. I think it may have been 87 or so. Could be wrong, forgive me. But in 89, he was attempting to buy the company with another investor. And his bid came in second place. The first place bid was Ron Perlman. And, you know, that's a whole other story in and of itself. But instead of giving up, Jim Shooter and his investor, I think his name was Steve Mazarski, again, could be wrong, don't quote me on that, they started up Valiant Comics. There was a bigger umbrella, Voyage, I think it was Voyage Entertainment was the bigger name of the company that they had started. But in it, they had started this new comic book universe that was Valiant Comics. And along with them, they brought some celebrated creators to launch these books, such as Barry Windsor Smith, who those of us in the comic book fandom know that name very, very well. Very celebrated, well-respected artist. Bob Layton, same thing. Well-known for his runs on Iron Man and a lot of characters that he created during his time at Marvel Comics. You also had Steve Englehart. And at the same time, there was, I don't know at what point they came on board, but up-and-coming artists such as Joe Quesada, who would later become the editor-in-chief of Marvel himself, coincidentally, and Jim Palmiotti, Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. You had Christopher Priest, who would work on Valiant Comics during this era, this original era of Valiant Comics, I should say. But initially, these books that launched were quite successful. They had a certain familiarity to characters that we might have been familiar with prior to if we had grown up reading Marvel or DC Comics. There were certain themes and feels that were similar but were at the same time completely original. But the diving into this universe wasn't going to be a challenge because the writers and the artists were of top quality. And it made the comic book landscape at that time even more interesting, because we often talk in the early 90s about Image Comics forming and that representing a change in how things business was being done, where now it was very artist-centric and creator-owned, and there was no longer just two big companies kind of that had the umbrella over what we knew and understood to be this medium of storytelling. Now we were getting all these different sort of companies that were giving you something fresh and original, and you could really get your own personal vision expressed through these characters. And Valiant Comics was, I would say, if you were to look back at when creators branched off from Marvel and DC and really started to do something in a big way, it was a little bit more critically acclaimed and respected on the level of the product as a whole, as opposed to what Image was doing, which was very provocative and bombastic and edgy. Valiant Comics was telling good stories and creating characters with a lot of layers and a universe that they existed in, where you didn't have to read all of the books, but if you did, it was a really big payoff. But as everything else in the 90s, as quickly as they rose and they became a hot item for collectors, and I think that was one of Valiant Comics' original shticks back in the day, was they created a collector craze with their books. They did a lot of limited printing. I heard Bob Layton one time on a podcast expressing that they wanted to make their comics collector books, and for their value to maintain, in order for their value to maintain, they couldn't overly print it. They couldn't proliferate how much was out there. So it was almost like forced collectability in a way. And so, you know, this contributed to the boom and bust of comic books at that time, I would say. In 94, Valiant Comics was then purchased by a very big video game conglomerate, which was Acclaim, who, I'd have to look at all the video games that they played, but if you grew up in the 90s, you definitely played some video game that was formed or created by and owned by Acclaim Comics. But 94, there's a bit of a changing of the guard. Jim Shooter is no longer there. Some new creators, young creators, are coming in. I think that might have been the time when Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti had come in, and they had created another character named Ninjak, and they had all of these, you know, embossed and foil and chromium covers and the like. So I'm not too aware of all of the books that were published and successful during that time. You can collect really nice collections of those original hit series, such as Exo Man of War, who else is there? Bloodshot, Archer and Armstrong. I'm trying to think of what else is on my shelf right now. I'm picturing my shelf while driving beside a Mack truck. So I said Ninjak, Exo Man of War, Archer and Armstrong, Quantum and Woody. That's the other one. They've released these really nice omnibus of this classic material from that original Valiant Comics era. The art in it obviously is a product of its time, but the storytelling and the experience you have with these characters and the character development in them are definitely something worth reading. It was a lot more, not a lot more, but you could see that there was a certain level of respectability to the reader at that time. If you were buying comics in the early 90s, mid 90s, there was a certain edge to that these comics had, not just in their look or the way perhaps Image had given you that aesthetic. Valiant Comics had done it in a storytelling way, I would say. But as all things in the 90s, as I had said before, it didn't last very long. It took a turn, and by the 2000s, Valiant Comics no longer existed. I think they had tried their hand, Acclaim had tried their hand at making, you know, video games and all these different things with their characters, that it just didn't pan out. I don't think Acclaim lasted much longer as a company itself. So Valiant Comics went to the wayside, and it became something that was remembered by fans of that that 90s era of comics. Valiant Comics was something that was now nostalgic. And due to that feeling and that love that some people really had for this comic book company, in 2005, a young man named Dinesh, I always forget his last name, Shyamdasani. I think that's it, Dinesh Shyamdasani, if I'm remembering it right, and a friend of his, they were investors. They were young entrepreneurs. I think they had success in business, but now they had invested in and bought the Valiant Comics property, the IP for it. And from 2005 till 2012, I think they had put wheels in motion to try to relaunch the brand for a new decade. And in 2012, they had come back out. Valiant Entertainment was launching Exo Man of War as their number one book. And again, Valiant was reborn. And that's the stuff that I'm much more familiar with. And that's the product that Andy Leigel had at that 2016 Fan Expo had really sold me on. And it was at that same Fan Expo that I had met a guest on the show, Matthew Klein, who is now the VP of Sales and Marketing at Valiant Comics. He was also there working the tables and was doing a fantastic job at selling the line himself. He'll be back on the show this year, I hope, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening with Valiant Comics today, currently, the movies that will be coming out. Maybe give you a reading list of some of the things you can pick up for the movies that are coming out in the next couple of years. But the current era of Valiant Comics is a fantastic lineup of books. If you were to go on comic book Roundup, which is kind of like a Rotten Tomatoes website for amalgamating comic book reviews and giving you an aggregate of all these different reviews that are out there from different websites and giving you a lowdown of what's hot and what's not and what people are saying. If you go to the publishing section and click on Valiant, they've got, I think, 88 titles that are listed and have been reviewed. A lot of them are miniseries or, you know, 4-5 issue series, but they're all in the green. Not meaning that they're rotten. It's all that on this site, the green is fresh. They're all 8-point-something and up. So throughout the line, whatever your tastes are, whatever you choose to pick up, very, very likely you're going to enjoy the story that they have told. And it's very reader-friendly in the sense that you can jump on in a lot of different places without feeling left out, but also it's friendly to your wallet because they never print more than, I think, I'm going to exaggerate and say they never have more than 10 books out at one time on their line. So you can buy the entire Valiant Comics line for $40, let's say, a month, and be reading everything that's happening in their connected universe. And it is pretty extensive, their connected universe. It does have it's worth the investment of reading more than one book because the enjoyment that you get from the payoff is worthwhile. But they do it in such a way where you don't have to be married to let's say you're reading a title of Exo Man of War. You don't have to buy the crossover issues. It won't affect your reading. It'll enhance it. But a lot of times when we read, you know, Marvel and DC and they have these crossover events, they really affect the book that you're reading to the point where it either takes you off of the book or you're forcing yourself to have to read these other stories in order to get a full sense of what's happening. That's not so much the case with Valiant Comics, but more so you're going to want to read what else is happening. And to really give you an idea of the quality of the company, the lineup of writers that they have are, you know, quietly the best writers in comic books. Not quietly, we all know their names, but sometimes we don't realize how much work they're actually doing with Valiant Comics. So I often talk about Matt Kent as being one of my favorite writers. He's been kind of the Jeff Johns, Brian Michael Bendis of Valiant Comics, meaning that he's touched almost every character in their lineup and has had an extensive run with each of their books. Not all of them, but the majority of them, he's had an extensive run, and they've all been extremely solid. Jeff Lemire, who we know for his indie image books and self or creator-owned titles that are very, very well respected. He's done quite a significant a number of books for Valiant Comics himself, and they have been stellar. Namely Bloodshot. He's done extensive work on Bloodshot, and it's been some of his best stuff, in my opinion. I absolutely love it. Who else was there? Fred Van Lente did a nice run on Archer and Armstrong, which is a buddy team-up book with humor, but also it has a lot of cloak and dagger aspect to it. It's almost like a drunk Indiana Jones accompanied by a Iron Fist in a way, and they're traveling through all sorts of different cabals and secret societies and history, and it's a fantastic book that it's very hard for me to explain it to you while I'm driving, but if you read it, you'll definitely love it if you're a fan of any of those types of movies, if you like kung fu movies, if you like those on the run treasure hunt type of movies. It's a fantastic book. Fred Van Lente was the writer of that original series for Valiant when they relaunched. And who else was there? Christos Gage has recently done the run on Ninja K, which is the second series that followed Ninjak. And I know I'm kind of all over the map right now listing all of these titles, but the thing about Valiant Comics that I really appreciate and enjoy is that it caters to your collecting habits. So if you want to collect single issues, you'll have a nice 25-issue run maximum of a particular title, and then that run will be done. You'll get the full vision of the writer and the artists that he's working with on that book, and you'll get a full story. But a lot of times they're less than that, and they'll be nicely collected in a even number of trades where the way that you read them is very reader friendly in the trade paperback aspect. Or if you're like me, I wait until the series is almost complete. It's a little bit annoying because I want to keep up to date with what's happening, but I like their deluxe hardcover editions that collect a lot of times the whole series. A nice 15 issue hardcover collection, 12 issue hardcover collection, that you get a full-on vision and scope of what the artist and writers want, or writer, I should say. It's always the same writer throughout the book. The writer and artists are giving you. And when they tie in other characters, such as, Exo Manowar may show up, who Exo Manowar, just as a quick detail, he's a character who, if you look at him, you would say, oh, that's just an Iron Man ripoff. But it's not. There's a similarity, I guess you could say, because he does wear armor, but it's alien armor, alien technology from a bygone era. And he is a man out of time. The person who wears the armor, Eric of Dacia, is a Visigoth who's original people were fighting the Roman Empire in ancient times, and the story goes that he is abducted and finds himself on an alien spacecraft of a species known as the Vine, and he's enslaved to them with some of his people to create a utopia oasis on their ship that they're traveling or on their planet, and he finds a way to escape and save the prisoners that he's with, and he puts on this alien armor that is worshipped by this alien race. But none of them, whenever the alien race called the Vine pick a worthy warrior to don the mantle of this armor that bonds to the person, they're never able to survive. But for some reason, Eric of Dacia, this prisoner, this earthly man, is the only one who's able to yield this most powerful weapon of the universe. So he's unified with this armor that's sentient. It's almost, I guess you can say, if you're going to compare it to Iron Man, kind of like an Extremis armor where it bonds with him and molds itself to what he needs. But at the same time, the man himself is also more of a Conan-like character, who is this warrior, barbarian man from a bygone era that finds this technology that is way beyond its time that nobody really knows or understands, and now he's able to yield it. What will he become? When he escapes this alien craft, he makes his way back to Earth to now protect his people as this amazing warrior with this weapon that cannot be stopped. But when he comes back to Earth, it is now 2000 and whatever year you want it to be. So he goes from first century to 2000 and years later, a man out of time who is a savage barbarian warrior, but is now complete with this alien technology in an era where they're absolutely terrified of who this guy is. It's a great story. I mean, if you're into comics, you like Conan the Barbarian, you like Iron Man, you just like great science fiction or great storytelling, why wouldn't you want to read it? Like, it's so good. And the things that we love about Marvel Comics, you get the feel of it, but it's not a direct copycat, but it's that sense of where we know what this is like. We've kind of seen this before, but it's being done in a new vision, or being done with a twist, and without the shackles of years and years and years and years of continuity and editorial holding you back from telling the story that you want to tell. That's just an example. I could go on, and I've probably been rambling now for quite a bit of time. But yes, definitely look into Valiant Comics if you haven't already. If you go to a comic book shop, they might not have an extensive selection of Valiant Comics the way you might see for Marvel, DC, Image, because they're not printing a ton of things all at once, but they do have a pretty extensive library, whether it be their classic material, which again features a lot of creators that we respect and hold in high regard and pay for their signatures today, and then current creators who are writing some of the best stories in modern day comics. And now they're launching a movie universe with Sony Pictures. I hope it's good. I have no idea, but the book, if they're anything similar to what the quality of the books are, it will be fantastic. That's my hope. That's my guess. And I figured I've talked about this company quite a bit in the past, haven't done it in a while, but I've been deep diving into their books once again since I would say the Christmas holidays of 2019 up until now, which is about the end of January. I've been reading nothing but Valiant, catching up on my reading, and it's definitely well worth it. Once you dive in, you won't stop, which might scare some people to say, well, I don't want to have something that I can't, you know, I'm binging and I don't read anything else. But in this case, it will be well worth your dollar. And again, look online if you can't find it at your shop. A lot of times the books that they have online are for a good price if you catch it in the right moment. So that's my sales pitch. I guess you could say I should be working for Valiant Comics the way I've been talking about them for the last few minutes. But now I have arrived at work, and I thank you guys for listening. Thank you for keeping me company and listening to me rant and rave about Valiant Comics and a little bit of their history. Definitely go to your local comic book shop and pick up some of their books. I will have Matthew Klein on the show in a couple weeks, and we can go into a little bit more detail of what's happening with the company and the best way for you to jump in and what to read first. So thank you everybody for listening. And oh, in fact, you know, before I go, I have had an episode with Matthew Klein 2 years ago, 2018. So just check the archives. I don't remember the number, the episode number that it was, but it is there. So if you want to get a bit more of a primer into Valiant Comics, you can listen to that again. Thank you everybody for listening. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com and leave us a review if you enjoyed the show at whatever platform you listen to your podcasts on. It helps a lot when you leave a 5-star review, believe it or not. It does make a difference. So again, thank you for listening. Have a great day, afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening to this, and we will be back soon. This is Eric Anthony, signing off.